Alogio is a manager and provider of short-term rental accommodation. It's raising $16.5 million in an IPO on the ASX this month. The company started off managing one hotel in Newcastle in 2015, and it now has a portfolio of about 880 holiday properties and 13 hotels. It plans to use the IPO proceeds to expand as the entire sector comes out from under the COVID cloud. The offer closes on November 15, and the shares should begin trading by the end of the month. In case you're wondering, Alogio is Italian for accommodation. We're speaking with CEO and founder Will Creedon about the IPO. So I was trying to work out exactly how to describe Alogio, and not sure I wanted to say it's like Airbnb, because you're not, are you? How are you different?
No, we're not. Look, I suppose firstly, we started Alogio on December 21st, 2015, and our aspiration was to be the leading consolidator and operator of short-term rental accommodation in Australia, which is, highly fragmented. And what we did was we went about creating our own platform to allow us to offer an end-to-end management solutions for all holiday home owners and mid-market hotels. And so what does that really mean? It means that Alogio has the ability to coordinate and manage all of the housekeeping and the gardening and the pool maintenance and the accounting and the reservation communication on behalf of holiday homeowners, and then also allow us to use all that fantastic content. You think about all those swimming pools and beautiful homes that are sitting on the different beaches and hilltops, and present them to our own websites and our own marketplaces, and also alongside companies like Airbnb or Booking.com or Stays. And it's important here because we fulfill, and not alone all of the reservation activities of the traveler, be it directly through our own websites or directly through an Airbnb or Stays or whatever. We actually do all the physical work in and around the property. And the property owner trusts us to ensure that their property is well maintained and it's welcoming for the traveler.
Yeah. You say that it's a fragmented marketplace. Now, why is that more so than elsewhere, like in Europe or Ireland, for
Well,
example?
believe it or not, when you think of short-term rental accommodation, the acronym is STRA, but in Australia, it's been around for over 100 years, and it's no different to the rest of the world. In the last sort of 25, 30 years, it's becoming more mainstream as an accommodation sector. And what you started to see globally is that the traditional holiday home, the managers of were your traditional real estate agents, and they're concentrating on selling property and permanent leasing property, and they happen to have some holiday homes on their books. Then there were some specialized property management companies, and they were all small. In Australia, we today, Alogio, are one of the largest, if not the largest operator in the country at 880 holiday homes out of 500,000 holiday homes in Australia. And you ask yourself, well, why does that happen? And why hasn't more consolidators come in? And like I mentioned, firstly, the traditional real estate property managers are concentrating on sales. The second is there hasn't been enough time and energy put into technology platforms that actually allow you to scale all the activities of managing, coordinating all of those vendors that I talked about, housekeeping and pool attendants, et cetera, and concierge and the delivery of hampers and the delivery of chefs into those holiday homes. So the ability to invest heavily in that technology platform to allow those activities to occur wasn't there because of the small amount of properties per individual property manager. And of course, and then also what happened was, over the last 20 years, you could say in Australia, the first consolidator of distribution for the holiday home market was Stays. And then that was followed by Airbnb and Booking.com and What If, et cetera. And however, they're fantastic and they're tremendous partners to Alogio and for Alogio, but they're booking engines. They don't actually handle any of the physical activity of key management, of ensuring the guest is welcomed at the door, to ensure that All those housekeeping and linen provision and bed making and concierge is actually activated. So all of that is strong logistical and physical know-how that's needed. And you needed to do that at scale. So technology had to be your friend. And so over the last, that's why one of the first things that we did in Allagio was go about creating that that technology ecosystem to allow us to do all of those things. And globally, we're the first doing what we're doing here in Australia. But globally, there is companies like Bacasa and Sykes, IO Homes that are doing it. And you can see they're adding tremendous value to the holiday home owner as well as the traveler. And if I was to, you know, dissect a little bit further for you, the 500,000 homes that are holiday homes in Australia. So believe it or not, our partners in, like I said, Stays and What If and Airbnb, et cetera, they have those 500,000 holiday homes, less than 50% are on those platforms. In fact, it's 224,000 properties are on those, what we call online travel agents. And if you're to take another starting fact, is that of those 500,000 holiday homes, less than 25% are on more than one of those OTAs or those online travel platforms. And this is where Allagio adds even greater ability for your single holiday home owner or your property manager that doesn't have the technologies or the know-how to be in travel. They're in real estate, not in travel and accommodation and hospitality and tourism. So we have built a platform that allows us to have an exclusive management agreement with the holiday homeowner that then allows us to help that holiday homeowner curate their entire property, you know, make sure that it's styled nicely, it's appropriate for the traveler. The activities of a stocked fridge are there, the Wi-Fi is there, the towel is next to the bench that overlooks the pool, etc. Mm-hmm. And take that and then distribute it onto all of the online travel platforms, as well as our own websites and marketplaces. So we offer greater distribution. And over the last few years, from a macro sense, the traveler is, when I say the last few years, I mean in the last sort of 10 or 12 years, you could see the macro trend globally and here locally in Australia move towards more space when people are traveling, and particularly for leisure and families and couples and friends. They want more space and control of that space. And what has accelerated that even further in the last 2 years is the pandemic and COVID-19. People want to have the control of the entire living area, which would include a kitchen, sitting rooms, pool areas, and the bedrooms, which is continued to allow the holiday home or vacation rental market in the US and North America, be known as, to become mainstream accommodation. Mm.
That's really interesting. I want to come back to some of those elements shortly, but let's just double back a little bit and go to your IPO. You're about to raise, or you are raising, $16.5 million. So how much cash are you going through at the moment, and what sort of cash position does the IPO leave you in?
Oh, look, this is a very exciting time. You can imagine, you know, travel and domestic travel is, it's on everybody's lips. You know, they've been... Yeah. Locked in at home for so long, and we've been on this journey now for a number of years, and we absolutely believe the opportunity of bringing and consolidating this fragmented market, and what it means for us now is we've learned so much from the acquisitions that we've already had getting to our present size, and the IPO was certainly the next way to go to allow us to bring the firepower to further compound our place in the Australian landscape. And, you know, when you think of those 500,000 homes, our real total addressable market in our eyes, because we're after that medium to upper end premium style accommodation and holiday home, you know, we're talking about 140,000 homes. So there's a fantastic runway ahead of us. And, you know, when right now we have an amazing acquisition pipeline that are nearing completion. And there'll be more that we'll talk to the market in the weeks and months ahead around that. But what it means for us, you know, we've grown to revenues in the last financial year of 11.3 million. And of that, which is a 51% increase on the previous year. And our EBITDA margin last financial year to June 2021 was 41%, which is up on the previous year of 37%. So as we add more and more scale and the IPO, and I must say our partners of Bell Potter and OnMarket have done a fantastic job, but with institutions and also with the retail investors that having underwritten 16.5 million gives us serious firepower to take on the next journey of adding more acquisitions and also doubling down on our technology platform to add more organic revenue opportunities for existing holiday homeowners, our hotels, and the business itself.
So, I mean, it's quite impressive that, especially for a travel tourism company, that your sales and EBITDA rose from the previous year. Is that acquisitions primarily?
It's acquisitions and organic growth. You know, we've been, it's testament to, thank God, we from day one, we've been building a very, very strong team within our business. We've got great, unique skill sets and bring tremendous talent and energy. And that coupled with an already built proprietary platform has allowed us to extract extra value for all our shareholders. And with scale, that'll just only continue to be enhanced. And it's very, very exciting that, you know, as you mentioned, I'm a great believer in seeing the light at the end of the tunnel. What I like to do is weaponize that light to make sure that we get there faster and we see the glorious sunshine. And what's happened, it's unique, really, when you think about the 15th of June this year when New South Wales and Sydney started going into lockdown and the explosion that's come out of the blocks now in domestic travel here in New South Wales and into Victoria and heading to Queensland. Our IPO is at the perfect time, and you know we can take real advantage very quickly from the upsurge of domestic tourism. And when you know, one of the great indicators that we use is pace. And what pace is? The length of time from when a person books an accommodation to when they actually arrive at that accommodation. And traditionally, in traditional years, you know, in the holiday home business, it's around at 78 to 86 days. During last year's surge from easing of restrictions, it dropped very quickly to 49 to 51, 52 days. And whereas this year, which has been, there's been a huge intensity of bookings, but what is really, really, really exciting is the confidence and the sentiment in the market. What I'm saying here is the bookings are not just immediately now for Christmas, which is we're going to have an absolute bumper record, I reckon, to be honest with you, and into January. But those bookings are going into March and April and May. So the pace, so we're actually up at between 68 and 71 days at the moment. Now that gives, you know, travel companies, cafe owners, restaurant owners all around Australia should be seeing comfort in that, because it means that the average person on the street is feeling that we've gotten past COVID-19 and we can live with COVID-19 and that we will get on with our lives. And that's really, really exciting for Alagio, and it's exciting for the entire tourism industry.
So you have, of the $16.5 million that you want to raise, you've got two-thirds of that set aside for growth initiatives. That's $11 million. And you say that Alagio aspires to be the leading consolidator and operator in the highly fragmented straw industry. Now, is $11 million enough to do that?
Look, you know, when we think about our future and the number of the 500,000 holiday homes and the 140,000 holiday homes that Alagio sees in its sites, we will have to continue to grow and continue to acquire. And we will be doing quite a number of different ways and how we'll do that over the coming months and years. And absolutely, we will keep the market well informed of our progress. But it's a very, very good start to an already large platform to build on.
I wanted to just clarify. So Are you in the business of buying these properties outright, or you're not buying them? You're not a landlord.
No, that's a great question. Maybe I'll help you. I'll try and describe it in a way that, so what happens is, Maria, you might own a holiday home or a home in, say, Noosa or Jervis Bay in Huskinson or Mollymook. And what you would do is you and I would sit down with each other. You would sign a management agreement, which gives me exclusive use of your holiday home. And then I would take that holiday home and I would organize all of your housekeeping and all of your pool maintenance or whatever is needed. And also I would distribute that holiday home pictures and words and descriptions into our websites and into the online travel agents. And what it means is that you still absolutely own your home. You still are in control of when you want to go to that holiday home and not. You just go into our platform and book it out when you want and not. The rest of the time, we manage everything on your behalf. So you retain 100% ownership of your home. The management agreement that you sign with me does not have an end date. It goes on for infinity until either party, either you, Maria, or I, give each other some notice. And that notice is usually in the form of 30, 60, or 90 days, depending on the agreement. And, you know, from time to time, there's conditions of the individual that are individuals that own the holiday home change. You know, there might be a debt in the family, or if there's financial stress, they may sell the holiday home. So what we do there is we operate physically a hub and spoke part of our business, where in our hub, we manage a lot of shared services such as revenue management, dynamic pricing, reservations, distribution, finance and trust accounting, all of the money that we have for our both from our travelers and for our holiday home owners is held in statutory trust accounts. And we administer all of that centrally. Then in the spoke, for example, in Mornington Peninsula or in Noosa or in Port Stephens, we have offices. And in those offices, we have our property care team. And those property care team, our own employees physically go in and out of the properties to ensure that everything is set and ready for the arrival of the owner or the arrival of the traveler. And, you know, that could be that we have the bottle of wine on the table or the stocked fridge, the towel thrown over the seat ready for pool activity. And what it also means is that gives great comfort for you, the holiday home owner, knowing that there's an organization that has got its own team, physical employees that go in and out of the home to make sure that the home is looked after, that we build that trust between both parties, because that's what a loggia ultimately has to do. It has to make sure that its name is strong. It can only do that by physically ensuring that we mind your home for you. And that's what we do. Right. And by minding your home for you, we can then ensure that the traveler has a great experience.
So, but do you actually buy properties if you see the opportunity? Is that one of the things that you
So as well as organic growth of signing management agreements one-on-one with owners, what we do is we, for example, would buy a property, a similar business to ourselves, a property management business that may have 50 or 100 right. or 150 managements. And we'll buy what is called is the management rights or management rent roll. And we buy those, that rent roll, and insert it on our platform. And those, you know, not alone our specialized property management services of short-term rental, but also we may take the area within a traditional real estate business that manages holiday homes, and we manage it, and we purchase that element from their business and take control of those management agreements. And in those circumstances, we retain the legal an emotional relationship with that real estate agency. For example, you know, when we look at Noosa, the Neelands, they're a fantastic real estate company, and we bought their Noosa Holiday Rentals from them. And to this day, Dan and Michelle, we have a fantastic relationship with them. Okay. This right. even in Mollymook, etc.
Yeah, that's interesting. I just wanted to clarify that your business is managing these assets rather than actually owning them.
Correct.
And I'm interested too in that, in what you were just talking about, that standout thing that differentiates you from any other hotel or property manager, which is the, I guess, the end-to-end experience where you have the online booking ecosystem and then, you know, the meet and greet element of someone turning up. And I guess that that is kind of an issue for smaller operators in regions, for example, who are missing out on tourists who are used to doing everything online.
That's exactly right. You know, firstly, to just unpack that a little bit more, is that in our business today, 51% of our business comes direct through our websites and our marketplaces. Mm-hmm. So that tells you that you may have even stayed in one of our properties without even knowing it. You know, we are very, very loyal and see absolutely tremendous value and equity around the individual destinations having their own brands. And what that means is that we have those offices in those locations that can, that are, and we are at a scale that actually can add technology and the people to ensure that there's the technology touch, but there's also the human touch, so that we can offer that premium service for that, to match that premium holiday home, because that's what the expectations of today's travelers are about. They're about actually ensuring that the regulations around short-term living are kept, that the actual premium experience is met, that bottle of wine that I was talking about, the ability to have a chef at home to cook the lunch or the dinner, etc., or the chauffeur to take you around. All of those elements are very, very key now, but even more key as we head into the future, as expectations from travelers continue to grow. And what it also means is that, you know, with respect to the individual holiday homeowner and respect to the smaller property management services companies, the scale element that they face, it will become more and more difficult for them to deliver the curated service at reservation, pre-arrival, at arrival, during their stay, pre-departure, and after departure. So it's very important to actually that somebody is in control of the entire journey, as you have said, end to end. And we can do that, and we do that very successfully through our direct bookings, but also because of our great partnerships with the OTAs, such as Stays or Expedia, Airbnb and Booking.com. And they there's a very, very soft handover on bookings that come from those parties onto us. And what we give to those OTAs is actually assurance that they're dealing with a company that has the ability and the scale to deliver consistently a premium product to their travelers. And they're doing it in a very, very safe way to meet all the regulations that they're varied across the states and territories of the land, and ensuring not alone is their holiday home protected, but also we care about the neighbors and the communities around that. We care that there's safety and there's peace and quiet, but also that we're actually enhancing and have the ability to enhance the micro businesses in those areas, not alone cleaning and housekeeping and linen provision and pool and gardening, etc., but also the guides and the experiences and the activities in the local area that we can actually, through our platforms, connect to them, so that it actually sustains longer term micro businesses and businesses generally in that regional and rural areas.
I noticed that one of your customer segments was families needing somewhere to stay while they renovated their homes, and this is very COVID specific. Have you seen any other sort of effects from the pandemic that's shaping the market?
Oh, absolutely. And the other area is actually people working away and using holiday homes as their base. And, you know, when you think of, just to unpack that a little bit further, you know, normally the average length of stay in a holiday home is somewhere between 4.7 and 5.1 nights generally. And during the pandemic and, during lockdown, those that were lucky enough to have escaped previously stayed obviously for much longer to experience regional New South Wales or regional Victoria or regional Queensland. But what we've also seen is that people basically working, using the holiday home as their office. for extended periods, and actually jumping from region to region, experiencing the local areas and in taking in the sights and the sounds of those different areas, be it the coast or the hinterlands or the mountainous areas of Australia, and actually still being able to work. So there's been quite a bit of a shift to that as well. And that's been really, really interesting.
We're running out of time, so I just quickly wanted to sort of touch on, will you own the single biggest stake on completion of the offer of 23%, I believe. You founded the company and you're the CEO. Just one final question. How do you see the tourism sector evolving now that the border restrictions are being lifted, both for the domestic and international segments? I mean, how long do you think before international tourists are back?
I think firstly, if we talk about domestically and then I'll move to international. Domestically, you know, we've always had an extremely strong domestic market in Australia, well before the pandemic and bushfires. And, you know, when you look at its compounded annual growth is, you know, circa 5-odd% a year on year for multiple years. And what's happened with bushfires was that people started to see their own countryside being changed. Unfortunately, showed terrible hardship for a lot of people. But what it did was it actually said, hang on a sec, we need to support our own and we need to go on holiday around our own. What happened after that was the pandemic. And what that did was it further compounded that feeling. It further compounded the feeling that, hang on, I can only holiday locally being in Australia. And what it did was it actually recreated habits. These habits were there in the 60s and the 70s and 80s. Like you think of your grandparents and your family, your parents, they took you to the same locations in the same seaside country towns and country areas. And what happened, international travel came in and we broke that habit. What has happened with COVID-19 is we've re-engaged. And what is also interesting is people have been astounded by the natural beauty of our countryside, be it coast or inland. But they've also been astounded by the amazing providors and the amazing artisans and the amazingly gifted people and the rawness of character of the personalities that make up our country. And they've been reunited again. That habit is going to be long lasting. So that's a really interesting phenomena and an extremely positive phenomena from COVID-19, because it also means that those regions, rural and otherwise, are receiving relatively regular revenue, which means they can further enhance their product, their properties, which ultimately all tourism businesses will. What is happening globally and internationally is that we are seeing unbelievable penetration of research. And it started in late August, September, from countries like Singapore, Japan, South Korea, the US, in looking into Australia. So they're itching to come back. They're itching to come back and realize, one, the safety that Australia offered during the pandemic. There is no question that, God bless our frontline services, be it in ambulance, be it in health, etc. They have, and police, they have absolutely guaranteed our global position as a very, very safe environment in the world. Our leaders have also shown significant leadership in how they manage the pandemic, which means that is seen globally. So we are now beginning to see the benefits of that through search. And once the borders do open and more countries are allowed to travel here, I have absolutely no doubt that they'll come in their droves. And so it'll mean that over the coming years ahead, our position is even further enhanced than it was previously. So it's a very, very rosy time. And this is why one of the reasons now for Allaggio to IPO on the 29th of November is to get ourselves already with a large platform, already with 880 holiday homes, already with 13 motels and hotels, is actually to get ready for our next step. So it's to take advantage of that through organic growth as well as acquisitions. It's an exciting time for anyone in tourism.
Will, thank you so much for joining us. It's been very, very interesting. And best of luck with the IPO.
Thank you very, very much for your time.
That was Will Creedon, founder and CEO of Allaggio.